What's up, everybody? It is the inaugural Unhappy Gilmore Show through Green Legion Radio. I am thrilled to pieces to have this. It's a pretty cool and fun opportunity. I thank Quimby, and Sam is here with me. She's kind of in the background to help me out as I try not to fumble my way through this too bad here. I thought I'd try to start off a little bit with, kind of a little bit of background about myself. A lot of you don't know me. I don't know if any of my buddies will log in here, guys that I've known for a long time. But, I've met some of you out on trips with the Green Legion. A lot of you have seen my, as Quimby likes to call it, my colorful vocabulary in some posts. I've kind of backed off on Facebook a bit because those suspensions get to be a real pain in the neck, especially if I happen to go someplace with my kids and I want to post some pictures or whatnot, and then all of a sudden I'm locked out for 30 or 60 days. So I've kind of backed off there. Most of the time I'm just posting in groups. I've started to get a little bit more active on Twitter. But a little bit of background on me, for those of you that don't know, I am originally from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Was born and kind of raised halfway through my childhood in an area called Whiskey Hill. Some of you have seen pictures of me out on the road, baseball trips with the boys, which I'll talk about in a little while, where I've got kind of the Whiskey Hill jersey on. There's a friend of mine who still runs that team, that softball team, Whiskey Hill, in the same league that I used to play in when I still lived back there. Born in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Moved up to Milford, Connecticut, where I went to high school. And then in my mid-ish 20s, I had a job transfer that took me to Cincinnati, Ohio. Was really kind of a godsend. I was in a bad way in Connecticut, not doing really well. And that transfer kind of let me hit that reset button. And I was fortunate enough to meet my wife out here. We have three wonderful children. Anybody else who has kids knows, they're not always wonderful. I have three of them. This year they'll be 15, 12, and 9. That's boy, girl. And as I said last night, for anyone who was listening, the reason why I have three children is because I do not want four. Again, anybody who has multiples, and if all you choose to have is one child, more power to you. But there's a lot of stuff that you're just not going to experience if you only have the one. Not to quote Bill Cosby too much here because he's a nasty son of a bitch. But, there's just too much stuff left out. Like he said, if you've got a child running around saying, "Will you stop touching me?" Well, you got to take that child away, right? Like, you got to go get the kid looked at because there's obviously nothing there touching them. Somebody breaks, something's broken, one kid, who did it. Me with three of them, they all kind of just point at each other. So it's a total shit show over here sometimes. I'm live right from my house. On the other side of that door is where all the mayhem is going on. There's dinner being cooked, kids running around. Two of my three kids are outside trying to sell lemonade. It is 58 degrees. And there are wind gusts, I think, up to 25 miles an hour right now. So cups are blowing everywhere. People have, I keep trying to tell them, guys, dude, you will make plenty of scratch come summertime with lemonade stands. 58 degrees and windy, not really the wheelhouse for, a cold, refreshing beverage. Keaton, what's for dinner? I don't know. I think it's just, I think it's garlic bread, noodles, and sausage tonight. Something simple. My wife's down there taking care of that right now while I'm up here introducing myself to all of you. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I'm not going to go into too much detail. If you guys got questions about the kids or whatever, I'm more than happy to have those conversations. They do add a lot of fun, as I'm sure a lot of you are aware. This show, I'm kind of going to, maybe a half an hour, 40, 45 minutes at the most. I don't really see it going past that. If we get past that, because there's just some really good stuff to talk about and the room is jiving and everything, but great. I would love that. But, you know, kind of off the start, and I don't drink during the week, so it's, there's not going to be a whole lot of drunken rambling, although I am rambling right now. So my wheelhouse is generally going to be baseball and football. That's kind of where I live. Like, you know, I'll talk some basketball, I'll talk some hockey here and there, but baseball and football is really where we're going to live. However, tonight, there is a basketball thing that has really pissed me off. And it has everything to do with Bitch Simmons. All right. And I know a lot of you in Philadelphia are just sick and tired of hearing about him. You know, you've got to be thrilled to pieces that he's bounced out of the playoffs and all of that. I'm happy to. You will never find me rooting for anything Boston, but I was rooting for the Celtics the other night to knock the Nets out. I don't like Kyrie Irving, and I have a real problem with Bitch Simmons. When that trade first happened, yeah, Keenan, the NBA sucks. But look, baseball, again, like I said last night, kind of a smart person sport. You know, no offense, it's not your thing. You know, that's on you, bud. But yeah, the NBA has gotten stale. And we can get to some of that and why I think it's gotten stale. I think it's the same reason that, you know, that baseball has also gone down that path. And I believe it's a lot attributed to analytics. But as far as Bitch Simmons, you know, a few weeks ago when that trade happened and it was, you know, the key players being Harden and Simmons, you know, the general consensus, at least, you know, when we talked it on Right on Cue and then when I talked to some other folks, was either a break even or that the Nets had won the trade. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that James Harden has been fantastic. That guy was brought in to be Robin to Embiid's Batman. Well, right now, Batman's hurt. So Robin needs to pick up the freaking pace. And if you can't, then, you know, what'd you bring him in for? Like, is this guy incapable of taking over a game in some spurts here and there? And I know the Sixers as a whole had a really bad night shooting the other night, but I mean, good Lord, Harden has got to step up in, you know, to help out Embiid. On the flip side, Simmons never even got on the court, right? So they said he was going to be ready for game four. That was Monday night. Game three was Saturday night. You were down 0-2. If you can be ready for Monday night, why can't you be ready to help us? You know, if you're the Nets, help us on Saturday night when we're down 0-2. So problem number one. Then we get to Monday, and here comes all the reports. Oh, his back stiffened up again. Fuck right off. I mean, enough already. This guy has bent over the Sixers and is now bending over the Nets and robbing his paychecks. He's not earning any of it. He's just sitting there whining about his back. And now the latest thing is what? That his, you know, his mental stress caused his back to act up? Is this guy serious? Like, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I want my kids to idolize every sports, you know, every athlete out there. You know, I think a lot of the idolization and things to look up to should come from home. But the bottom line is some kids don't have that at home, right? There's a lot of kids, millions and millions of kids who do not have that figure at home that they can look up to. And, oh, yeah, you know, dad did this or mom did that. And it really, you know, for a guy like Simmons, what are you showing these kids who have no one else to look up to? You know, so they turn to sports heroes, sports, you know, athletes in general, and this is what they see. Oh, well, you know, that's just great. So now the moral for these guys is, oh, well, let me just be good enough to get there, and then I can whine, bitch, moan, and complain that mental stress is making my back act up, and I can sit there and just collect a paycheck with my stupid fucking sunglasses on the sidelines. Enough with this guy. I was never more happy to see somebody get bounced out of the playoffs. I don't like Kyrie Irving either. That guy is just a weirdo, right? Like flat earth and everything. Yeah, come on. So what looked like a win for Brooklyn in that trade, I don't see it. I mean, Harden hasn't been anything all that great, but at least he's out there, right? You know, 14 points is better than sitting on the bench, you know, yucking it up with other guys in street clothes. Not to quote Charles Barkley, but Lewis, there's no way any of his future teammates can trust me. No doubt. Exactly. How can you trust this bastard? This is supposed to be a dude. And the reason why it looks so good for the Nets, this is a 6'10 point guard. Yeah, he can't shoot. Well, you know what? KD is there, possibly the best offensive player in the league. Kyrie is there, another special offensive player. They got Seth Curry in that trade as well. All Simmons had to do was distribute, drive the lane, and kick it out. That was it. That's all he would have to do. Rebound, play good defense. All of the shooting and all that pressure was coming off him, and he still can't get on the court. So I 100% agree with you, Lewis. Nobody can ever trust him anymore. That guy, Chris Sack, I wear my sunglasses at night. Yeah, well, so do I at times when I've drank too much. But all right, I'm going to get off my soapbox about Simmons before I get too pissed. I was thinking about it today, and I was gonna back off it a little bit, but like it just bothered me all day long. And to keep hearing that over and over again, how the mental stress made his back act up, and that's why he couldn't play. Well, good. Here's your broom. Go sweep yourself out of the fucking locker room. You know, I don't know what the Nets are going to do now. My cousin Joe is the only person that I know who is actually a Nets fan. He has always been a Nets fan. You know, he will die on that wall as a Nets fan. So I respect the hell out of him for it. But he has got to be – I've not been able to talk to him yet today. I want to get a hold of him later tonight or tomorrow and just ask him how he's feeling. That is embarrassing. One final thing with the Nets, this was year three of Kyrie and KD. First year, first round exit. Second year, second round exit. This year, first round exit with a sweep. It's a failed experiment. It's time to move on. I think you got to ship Kyrie out of town. I think you're stuck with Simmons at this point, and then whatever the hell KD wants to do. But anyways, enough about Simmons. I think I've bitched enough about him. Nets fan when Dr. J was there. Yeah, I can respect that. You know, hey, look, you know, Dr. J played, right? You didn't hear anything about mental stress and him bitching about his back, right? So enough about the Nets. We're going to move on a little bit here. We're going to move on to baseball. I'm going to ask Sam to come in here in just a couple of minutes because I want to get her take on something, but first thing I want to say is we talked about this a little bit last night. Quimby kind of gave me the floor late in his show last night. I had the pleasure of going to Detroit over this past weekend. And now that sounds ridiculous in itself. Like, who the hell takes pleasure in going to fucking Detroit? But when there's been about 20,000 Major League Baseball players and Miguel Cabrera becomes the 33rd player to ever get to 3,000 hits. That's 0.0016% of everyone who's ever played Major League Baseball that has gotten to that milestone. My kids and I, my sons and I, we take a baseball trip every year. I've kind of talked some of that with Zach. I try to take him to different stadiums every year. My middle was a little behind my oldest, so we're trying to get him caught up. And Detroit was on that list. So tie it into Detroit, and then all of a sudden Miggy's chasing down 3,000 was a pretty good time. What I will say with Detroit, we left the Ford Museum at about 11:30 that morning, and it's about a 15-minute ride from the museum to Comerica Park. We were at the gate going through security when Cabrera was announced coming to the plate. All right. So an hour and a half, an hour and 40, hour and 50 minutes just to get us to get to that point. We finally get through and you hear the crowd ooh and ah. He had fouled one off, thank God. And we didn't have time to get to our seats. I kind of rushed up as close as I could get. And I mean, just in time for Cabrera to get that hit. And the place went absolutely bananas. And I don't know how many sellouts Detroit usually has. I'm guessing it's not much. But, you know, that it was definitely sold out that day. So Detroit, guys, you need to figure out your traffic patterns leading to and from the stadium, because that was a fucking disaster trying to get into that ballpark. Had we waited even another 5 minutes, we would not have gotten there. Lewis, what a moment you wish from the looks of it. May not happen again for decades. Exactly. And I'm going to get to that here in just a couple of minutes, man. You know, Cabrera, he had his demons, right? He had to face down alcoholism. But 3,000 hits, 500 homers. You know, he's going to get the 600 double. I don't know if he's gotten the double yet, but he's going to get the 600 doubles. A triple crown, two MVPs, four batting titles. You know, there's some things he's on a list all by himself. And the other lists he's on, he's sharing it with your legends, you know, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, guys like that. It's, you know, so to be there and to share it with my boys is something I'll never forget. Now, when we take our trips, I bought these things. I don't know if anybody can see that stupid glare, but it's a ballpark passport. And Sack, I can see you're in the room, so I encourage you to look this up if you've not already. Inside is a page for every stadium. And there are validation stamps that you can get at every ballpark. In the book, it tells you where to go in each ballpark to get that. So that's what we try to do when we get out on the road. So now I've got the validation stamp right there from Comerica Park from the 23rd when Cabrera got the hit. So on top of the ticket stubs, which I was able to get, they rip you off for that. We've also, all three of us have that passport to get stamped. The ticket stubs, I was told ahead of time I could go to a particular spot in the stadium and get my e-tickets printed for an extra $5. And I know that pretty much every major league ballpark will do that. You just have to find the right booth. Well, I'm on a couple of Facebook groups. I asked around. This is where they told me to go. I go there. I wait in this god-awful fucking long line. Get up to the booth just to find out that they're not doing it. I'm like, how are you going to not get – fucking serious with what just happened here? This is why everyone's here. So the answer I got was, we're not reprinting the tickets you already bought. What we will do is sell you a late arrival standing room only ticket for $20 a piece. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I just talked to a guy who told me he came here the Wednesday before and was able to get his shit printed for $5. And you're gouging because Mickey just got the 3,000th hit. That's what the fuck you're doing. So Lewis had texted me. He asked me to grab it. Lewis, I do have it. I have to find a way to safely ship it to you. I do not want the thing getting bent or fucked up in any way. So let me figure out a way to do that. And then I'll get your address from me and I'll send that down to you. But again, being there, absolutely awesome. Aside from the whole ticket thing, that was a disaster. But being there was awesome. Sharing it with my boys was even more awesome. And it may never happen again. If you look at the list, you know, I think Manny Machado would have to average, I think, like 136 hits a year from now until he's 40. Yeah, you got Freddie Freeman, who is 140-something hits. Mike Trout. You know, these guys have, you know, if they play till they're 40, this is what they have to do. You know, Trout's had a lot of injury problems over the last couple of years. He's going to have to get, but he hasn't played more than, I think it's 140 games in, you know, since like 2017 or something, or 18 or something like that. Forget the COVID year. I get that. But, you know, he's going to have to get back to being, you know, the reliable Trout that is out there every game, or this stuff's not going to happen. You know, averaging 140 something hits for a season doesn't sound like much if you're playing 162 games, But if you're only playing 130, it's a little bit more difficult. So Freeman, Machado, Trout, I forget who else I saw on that list. There was like five guys that could get there. But I mean, take a look at the way baseball is being played right now and the analytics portion of it, where everything is geared towards exit velocity and launch angle. And Quimby's going to kill you for talking about Trout. That said, keep doing it. Fantastic. We're going to put that one up there. I'm talking about Trout as far as it goes with the 3,000 hits. I think he could get there, obviously, but like he's going to have to get back on track. Guy's 30 years old. So kind of lost my train of thought a little bit. But, the analytics, the way the game's being played, these guys don't swing for contact anymore. It's all about the home run. You're going to get over 40% of plate appearances are going to be walk, whiff, or homer. Right? And all anybody, younger fans or new fans, and Sam, get ready to jump in here in a minute. All you keep hearing about is, well, there's not enough action. There's not enough action. Soto's a good point, Zach. But again, that's a long way to go. You know, I mean, he's got to stay healthy too. But all you keep hearing about from new fans is there's not enough action with baseball. Well, the analytics-driven approach to a lot of this, and I'm not blaming it all on analytics, but it plays a big role. It's not geared towards contact, right? The analytics tell you that stealing a base is a useless act. Like, it's only useless if you don't know how to read the pitcher, figure out his timing, get a good jump, you increase your chances. They tell you it's useless because of the probability of being thrown out. I watched Anthony Rizzo steal third base last week. But these pitchers aren't holding guys on anymore because nobody fucking steals bases anymore. Sam, can you jump in here for a minute? Or do I have to do something?
No, I got it.
There you go. All right. So, Sam, I want to ask you something here. And I know you're kind of, new to the baseball thing, right? And we can all thank Chris for that.
Yep.
I tried to get you in the NCAA tournament. From what I could tell, it was a failed attempt on my part.
I know, I did. I watched a lot of basketball. That's not true. I did. I watched a lot of basketball.
Well, did you watch just the NCAA tournament, or did you watch the conference tournaments leading up?
Nope, just the NCAA double-A tournament.
Yeah, see, you're not doing yourself any favor. Although that is the best postseason in sports, and you won't get me to feel any differently. Anyways.
Listen, guys, I'm trying.
So we have Chris to thank you for the baseball. So as a kind of new fan, right, and somebody who, admittedly doesn't know a whole hell of a lot about it, you're watching baseball, right? You're going to games or you're watching it on TV or whatever.
I've been one, and I've been watching the, I would say, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth innings.
Late in the game.
Yes, where it matters.
So what is your impression as a new fan of baseball itself?
Slow,
right. A lot of guys just kind of swinging and missing. Not a whole lot going on.
That would be my sum up word, is just straight up slow.
Straight up slow. So what do you think? Fito, there he is. This is my buddy. Guys, for those of you that don't know, Fito is the gentleman who runs the Whiskey Hill. He's also the president of that, on the board of that softball league now. So when you see me in those jerseys, comes from that man right there. I've known him for over 20 years now. He's a really good dude. He's a really good friend. So slow, Sam.
That would be my initial and overall evaluation of baseball.
Right. Well, it's not football. I mean, we all know that. It doesn't move at that pace.
Well, football is slow too sometimes, but there's things going on that you can get into, where baseball is, there's a lot of things that stats, they step in boxes, out of boxes. We have to watch them swing forever and do their dance and touch their elbows and their nose and their head.
No, they're touching more than that.
I mean, there's like a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a lot of habitual things that happen over and over and over again. They have to do this whole routine, and then they finally go to swing and they're waiting for the perfect pitch. I personally, it's just a little slow for me.
It's a little slow. I don't totally disagree with you. I'm not big on the guys that have to step out of the box, do the same fucking song and dance all the time, right? Noam Garcia pop up with the fucking Red Sox years ago was the most obnoxious, egregious person with that. He'd step out, he'd like tap his toes and everything. It was just fixing his freaking, his wristbands. It would drive me absolutely nuts. Not to mention the fact that I hate the fucking Red Sox anyway, so that didn't help anything. But yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of that. You know, they talk a lot about putting in a pitch clock to speed it up a little bit. I think it's more of a get your ass in the batter's box clock. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it.
Like, I think the other thing is like the changing of the pitcher in the middle of an inning, yep, where that's like a whole pause process, mm-hmm, where they get to warm up a little bit. That's like one more thing, like we're waiting again.
Yeah. So they tried to limit some of that by making pitchers face at least three batters. Because, you know, prior to that, you'd have guys come in and face one dude, and then another guy come in and face two, and then it'd be a whole nother pitcher the following inning. So they've tried to limit some of that. My problem is the way they go about, you know, from an offensive standpoint. You know, growing up, and, you know, Sack can probably attest to some of this. I know Fito can. I know, definitely know Lewis can. Contact, you know, put the bat on the ball and good things happen. What's the saying in hockey? Throw the puck in front of the net. Good things will happen. It's the same type of shit. The umpires need to control the pace better. Tell them to get their ass in the box. If not, let the pitcher throw it. How about we let the pitcher just throw it at his head? You know, like you give him a little chin music. Get in the box, dude. You know, it's obnoxious. J.D. Martinez is another one. He's got to step out. He's gonna take this big breath, all fucking big dramatic pause, pain in the ass, and then he wants to get in the box and hit.
I got one more, too, because, like, what's with the every player trying to get a home run?
That's like my problem with it.
Okay.
Everybody's like up there swinging from their heels.
Right. There was a time when there was just, you know, bases loaded and things were happening. Not every single batter was trying to hit a home run, right? That did exist at one point.
It definitely did. I mean, it wasn't just for bases. The idea was hit the ball hard, square it up, put the barrel of the bat on the ball. Whether it went out of the ballpark or not is a, you know, whatever, but it hit it hard, right? Put the ball in play. You know, you got a runner on second base. Hit the ball to the right side to get him over to third. Home runs used to be special, and they're not. And I don't want to be too much of a get off my lawn guy with that. It's not. Home runs haven't been that special in a very long time. Keenan, let them all juice. Home run derby every game. Nah, hard pass, bud. No thanks. Yankees and Red Sox, insanely long. I agree with you, Sack. Totally agree with you. Those games take forever. I think there's extra commercials in there because they know how many freaking people are watching. And, you know, and here we go again. You know, Sam Quimby muted me last night. Don't be shocked if Sam mutes me on my own show right now. I am a New York Yankees fan, but I'm also an honest baseball fan. Those games are way too long, and I don't want to play the Sunday night game every time there's a weekend series. That shit annoys the absolute piss out of me. Can someone else get a shot? Is there not like a Reds Cubs? Is there, you know, can we get Phillies Mets? Can we get, you know, Dodgers Giants? Does it always have to be, well, the Yankees and Red Sox are playing a weekend series. We got to put them on Sunday night. Fuck off. Where's my Sunday afternoon game? So I can, you know, enjoy the rest of my day. Place of play doesn't bother me. I enjoy it being the only sport without a clock. I do enjoy it being the only sport without a clock. I do. But there are some things that can help that along. And one of them is stop those guys from getting out. Now, you got to step out of the box, look down at the third base coach to get your sign. No issues there, but that's quick. All the theatrics stepping back in, are it's a bunch of bullshit.
I don't think it needs a clock. I think you're right on that. I don't think it needs a clock. I don't think we need to be exact on – it doesn't have to be like basketball where it's like 0.1 second left. I don't think – that's not necessary, but – a little bit of the extra like show and dance, that there was a difference. Like we're not pointing at the outfield with your bat, or you know what I mean? You're not pointing for the
not Babe Ruth.
Right. Like, that's one thing, but to sit there and, you know, you got to heads, shoulders, knees, and toes in order to get into the batter's box. That makes me very sad and very slow. I'm sorry. That's how I feel.
Heads, shoulders, knees, and toes. Nice. Like,
there's a whole dance happening.
Yeah. And it does. I mean, everybody's got their own little routine. Yeah. That note, the Nomar Garcia Parra one was so bad. Him, Jeter, and A-Rod were all in the same All-Star game. I forget what year it was. Was it 99? And Jeter actually went to the plate and mimicked Nomar, and like heckling him. So it was stop that bush ball shit, though. Yeah, I hear you, Fito. But yeah, everybody going up there trying to swing for the home run, that's what bothers me. It's all driven by exit velocity and launch angle, which, look, you can't just go up there and try to run into one all the time. And don't get me wrong. Again, I'm an honest baseball fan. The Yankees are the poster child for why you cannot build a roster strictly on analytics. Look at fucking Joey Gallo. This guy might be the biggest bum stand in the entire friggin' league. Right? With his 145 batting. He just hit his first home run the other night. And this is the guy crying about, oh, they should outlaw the shift. Hey, asshole, you still got to hit the ball. Right, you're going to strike out 250 times this year. It doesn't matter. They could take all the fielders off the field. If you can't hit the ball, it doesn't fucking matter. You strike out too much. Just walk, whiff, or homer. That's all that guy is. I can't stand him. He's become the target of my animosity towards analytics, towards launch angle, towards exit velocity, towards all of it. This is not how you add more excitement to baseball by just going up there wailing away at it. Joey Gallo. Zach, you're not allowed to, you are not allowed to quote Joe Pesci in any fucking movie anywhere until you watch Goodfellas. That's enough. I've had it.
That was good.
Although I do love that movie. Marissa Tomei was ultra hot in that movie. But yeah, so back to the 3,000 hits. It's possible. Home Alone and Home Alone. Enough with the movies, what you did. Like, you go. back to the 3,000 hits. I mean, it's possible some of these guys get there. Sack brought up a good one with Soto. You know, very young, and he's just 500 hits. So there's guys who have a chance, but the way they keep coaching these folks and the way the game is going, like, it's not as great a chance as like years ago when you would see, like, you knew Tony Gwynn was going to get there. You knew Wade Boggs was going to get there. If Mattingly's back hadn't gone out, he probably would have got there. Winfield got there. And the list goes on and on. So to be able to share that with my children, they've got a memory forever, and whether they end up lifelong baseball fans or not, I'm sure Keenan would try to talk them out of it. They at least know that they were there for that, and they've got all the proof in the world. We've got pictures, I've got the ticket stubs, and we got our passports here with the stamps in them. Again, Sack, if you haven't looked into that, as your boys start to get bigger, that's something you probably definitely want to take a look at. And I think they will back stamp for if you can kind of prove that you were at games, you know, previous to right now. But I can try to get you some info on that. That's all I got on baseball right now. You know, Yankees look good right now, but that's because we're playing Baltimore. You know, it drives me nuts that the Mets are in first place. I really wish the Phillies would get more consistent and catch the fucking Mets, because I can't stand the Mets. Right? They're like little brother. It's the annoying little asshole pulling on your leg all the time. Hey, look at me. Get the fuck out of here. Nobody likes you anyways. All right.
That's how Phillies fans feel also, correct? We don't like the Mets either.
No, you do not like the Mets.
Okay, yeah. Good to know.
Nobody likes the Mets except for Mets fans.
Listen, I'm trying. I'm trying my best.
Look, three things about me as far as baseball goes. I hate the Red Sox, I hate the Mets, and I hate any fucking team from Canada. That's it. Right. So right now it's just the Blue Jays.
Although, so Canadians aren't allowed to play baseball.
Look, I tried to plan a trip with the boys to Toronto this year.
Well, you picked a bad year for that.
A bad year. It's been a bad 3 years to try to get up there.
True.
I mean, this shit. So now they have this thing called ArriveCan. It's some app that you have to go in and fill out all your information. And you have to provide them with your 14-day quarantine plan. Dude, I don't even know if I'm going to be in your country. I don't intend to be in your country for more than like 36 hours. And you want me to provide a 14-day quarantine plan? Look, dude, if I test positive when I'm up there, just ship me back over the border. Right? That's my fucking quarantine plan, right? If I test positive in Canada, kick me the fuck out of your country and I will happily go home, right? Because like I told you guys, too, I think it was 2 weeks ago, COVID doesn't exist out here. Not here, right? This is, it's all, I'm in Butler County, Ohio. Our sheriff is a gun-toting maniac.
First of all, you just called him a sheriff. There's a problem in itself.
No. Sheriff Jones is awesome.
Nobody, we don't have sheriffs where I live.
Right. See, yeah. But you have a lot of gun control, right?
No, not in my town.
Are you guys still having to wear masks when you go eat?
Not in New Jersey, but in PA, I think they do.
Philly still has to?
Or for right now, they do. Or and it's going away this week or something. Jersey doesn't.
This shit doesn't exist out here. Okay? It exists in places where they want to keep you in fear of bullshit. That's the only place it exists. That's it. That's, I'm not going to get into that because then we'll be here for the rest. We'll be here for three fucking hours. Like I can't. I'm from Connecticut. You think I don't know that there's a whole lot of COVID bullshit? There's no more blue state than Connecticut. And please, like I'll go insane. Indoor mask mandate in Philly lasted for 4 days. So what did that solve? 4 days.
I only know about the hospitals and things like that. They have to wear their masks in the hospital still. That's all.
4 days to flatten the curve. I mean, what the fuck is that? Please, again, I'm done. So kind of the last thing I had, and Sam, stay with me here.
I'm here.
Because we're gonna, I'm just, you know, the last few minutes I want to go into football a little bit. We've beaten the draft to death on Tuesday nights.
Thursdays.
I'm sure Thursdays. I try to catch that show as best I can.
Yeah.
But you know, I give up time on Tuesdays. I'm gonna be doing this on Wednesdays. Again, the mayhem happens right out there. So so we've beaten the draft to death, especially from the Eagles, right? So I thought it might be maybe a better idea to take a look at who our division asshole rivals might be looking at come tomorrow night. You know, I'm not looking at the draft as a whole because, to be honest with you, fuck the Giants, fuck the Skins, and fuck the Cowboys. Right. Nobody likes them anyways.
That's the Washington Commanders, you mean?
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't call them the Commanders. Especially after Carson Wentz came out and looked like Ronald McDonald. Like I especially can't do that.
So true.
Right. So I mean the Giants, they're picking fifth and seventh. I've got some friends of mine, Giants fans, you know, again.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, so I'm sorry to say it sometimes, but so they're picking fifth and seventh. Some of my buddies would like to see the Giants trade down with at least one of the picks and set themselves up to take a quarterback next year, kind of like what we did, right, with the trade with New Orleans. Now we're kind of set up with picks to make a move if necessary, if Jalen can't take that next step. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to use – both picks. And I think part of the reason is because I think they're sticking with Blue's Clues at quarterback, right? That's what I call Daniel Jones. I call him Blue's Clues. I think he's you know what he looks like? He looks like the actor that would play Eli Manning in a movie about Eli Manning, right? Like you're just waiting for him to have that look on his face. You know, just some fucking dipshit running around the field, you know? You know, so they're going to have to take offensive line help. You know, you could think maybe Evan Neal is there. I read a couple of things where they like Charles Cross out of Mississippi State. If Ekwonu out of NC State happens to be there, that might be a place they look. In between their two picks is Carolina. And there's talk that Carolina may also take an offensive lineman. Now, the Giants could go defense with that fifth pick, let Carolina take who they want, and, you know, as an offensive lineman, and then take, you know, whoever's left. I think kind of that tackle position is a little bit more important. And, you know, you don't want to let some other team dictate who you end up with. So, if you know, if I was New York, I would take my tackle at five, whether it's Ekwonu, whether it's Neal, whether it's Cross, you know, whoever. And they pick again at seven, and that might be a place where you could see where you could see Kyle Hamilton come off the board, the safety out of Notre Dame. You know, missed six games with an injury. I don't know. But 6'4", you know, he plays the position really well. Some people have trouble with his 40 time because it was almost a 4.6, I think. But he makes a lot of holy shit plays too, right? Like the guy gets around. We talked about Kyle Hamilton not yesterday, but I think last week.
Last week.
He's got good range. He's got good field awareness. You draft him, you put him back in your defensive backfield. Now he's a problem for us, right? Giants are going to be looking overall. They've got a lot of holes to fill, just like we do. I think they're in worse shape, but they do have a lot of holes to fill. And those two guys, whether, you know, well, any one of the three tackles at the five and then Hamilton at the seven, gives them Giants going to draft another wide receiver. But hopefully they do and they don't fucking, you know, maybe we can avoid it. Stay out of the Detroit Lions comparison that Quimby likes to reference. But they're going to be looking for guys that can step in and make an impact right away. That's what they need. So I don't see them trading out of the first round unless it's to set themselves up for a quarterback next year. But there's no guarantees there. And they like Jones. I don't know why, but they like Jones. They feel like if they can put enough pieces around him that he's their guy. Then we've got Washington with Ronald McDonald at quarterback, right? You know, they could look to get him a weapon. They pick it.
Is he officially the starter?
He'll be the starter.
Really? Like,
who's gonna beat him out? Taylor Heinicke?
No one learned any lesson thus far.
Nobody's gonna learn lessons. Okay. Everybody's, he's got tremendous, you know. Okay. Look, here's what I will tell you. This is probably not something anybody wants to hear. He's an upgrade for them.
Oh, no, I think that's true. I agree with you.
They're a better offense with him than they were with Taylor Heinicke. You know, and I'm not sitting here telling you Carson Wentz hung the fucking moon. We all know he hasn't. But they are better with him. You know, they pick 11th. They could look to add a weapon for him. You know, if they can grab a, you know, I don't know if Garrett Wilson will fall that far. Chris Olave will be there. Jameson Williams. But the problem with Washington is they've only got six picks in this entire draft. And two of those are in the seventh round. I think they have to trade out of that 11 spot and try to get themselves more picks in a draft that is from all what the experts say, pretty deep in the middle of the draft. So if they can trade down, get themselves down to the bottom of the first round, that's probably the best play for them. And then do they look at a quarterback? You know, do they think Carson Wentz is long-term or is he kind of a bridge at this point to somebody that they're going to draft? Look, the quarterback crop in this draft stinks. Everything you read, everything you tell you, and just watch some of these college games from last year. Dude, these, on a normal year, these quarterback prospects are guys that would normally be, you know, like third round. They're mid, right? Third round dudes. But I can almost guarantee at least two of them are coming off the board in the first round, if not three. If you want to look at Matt Corral, so you can Pickett, Willis, and Corral. don't be surprised if another one comes off. You know, behind that, who do you have? You got the who's that idiot here? Oh, he's right here in freaking, he's right here in Cincinnati too, and I can't remember his fucking name. Desmond Ridder, that's what it is. Desmond Ridder out of Cincy, or Sam Howell out of North Carolina. Like, they could go too. The league has gone quarterback crazy, and teams are going to get desperate. Washington stinks, and I think they're going to keep being garbage. And I'm more than happy for Daniel Snyder to continue owning the team. I just don't know how much longer we're going to enjoy that with all this shit about he was ripping off all of his constituents, yeah, right?
I said that last week. I can't see this lasting too much longer. No. Although this is what we want, because it's better for, in the NFC East, it's better for the Eagles. So we want Washington. Oh, yeah. We want Washington.
Stick around.
Yeah, we want him to continue to suck. However, I mean, I can't imagine that ownership is going to stay the same. Leadership is going to stay the same over there.
I don't think it can. We talked about it. It was last week. You know, all of these other owners came to his defense when all of the sexual harassment and all that, you know, racism and shit was coming out. That whole thing that got John Gruden fired was initially an investigation into the Redskins, you know, into that for all of that crap. Right. All these other owners came to his defense.
Until.
And now they're going to find out that he was ripping them off. That is going to be a hard fall, dude. And you are going to lose. I don't know. Is owning an NFL team the biggest asset? Like,
I think
in all of professional sports, I would think.
I think when you have that much money, that stupid money, I think it's another check mark at that point. But
yeah, get it. But it's something that's, it's only going to appreciate. It's never going to depreciate.
Right. Right, correct.
We're also thrilled to pieces that Jerry Jones continues to stick his nose in all of the Cowboys business, right? That's always a fan favorite for us. So these pieces of shit currently have the 24th pick in the draft. They could trade out and grab more picks in the middle.
They're going to.
They could, but they also have trouble on their offensive line right now, right? They lost pieces, right? Connor Williams left. The Connor McGovern project was a disaster for him. He's a fucking stooge. If they keep that pick down with the Cowboys, attaboy Fito. Fito, for everybody who doesn't know him, which is pretty much all of you, he is a San Francisco 49ers fan. I think he commented it earlier. And I do apologize. I'm not paying enough attention to the room. Bear with me as I try to work through this. It's my first show here. They need it, and they need it at the guard spot, right? So you're talking about Zion Johnson from Boston College. You're talking about Kenyon Green out of Texas A&M. If they don't trade out, don't be surprised if that's where they look. You know, Johnson's a 5-year starter who transferred out of Davidson. You know, both of them are very versatile. They've played multiple spots on the line. So, you know, any one of them can help. Can help them on the guard spot. I hope they do trade out, and then I hope they fuck up all the picks they get from trading out. You know, drafting the offensive lineman makes sense for them, and I don't want them to do anything that makes sense.
Where do they pick? What did you say?
24th.
Okay.
They're 24th. They're way down. So we pick 15 and 18. So now, tomorrow night, you guys are live during the draft. From the studio.
Right.
Right. And is that just through the Eagles 2 picks, or is that the entire first round? Or is it just until Quimby gets fucking annihilated?
Well, see, now these are all three of those things are possibilities, because
I think the correct answer was yes.
Correct. There's, you know, if picks get traded or pushed back or whatever, we're going to try to hang with it for as long as we can, I think. So
I think it sets up to be a fun night, to be perfectly honest with you.
We'll see. I told my dad he was going to have to stay at the casino, which is not far from the studio. I said, Dad, you're going to have to stay at the casino for a couple extra hours if it goes late. And my dad said he would do his best. He would try his hardest to play poker longer for me. So,
I mean, you know, they keep talking about the draft being deep in the middle. The Eagles, the Jets, the Giants, the Saints, Packers, Lions, and Chiefs all have two picks in the first round. They're not all going to keep those picks. There's no way. People are going to trade out. So I think it sets up to be a fun night. I am going to sign, you know, I'll have my computer up down in my room down there. I'm going to watch you guys and mute the TV. I'll probably have the Sixers on the other screen. And then on the third screen, I'll have some baseball game, more than likely the Yankees, even though nobody gives a flying fuck except for me. And Fito's with me, right? Four beers, two shots, and a bad pick. Done. That's basically my – all right.
That was my prediction. That's my exact prediction.
Right. I talked about going a half an hour, 45 minutes. I have been rambling on for almost 51 minutes here.
Not a ramble if it's good.
Well, I hope I've been at least a little entertaining. I do want to make sure I try to pay more attention to the room as we do this week over week. I was going to go right into baseball to start the show, but that Simmons thing really pissed me off today. So that felt like the right start. So the only thing I have left is, if you've not attended in person an NFL draft, I highly recommend it. I did the draft 3 years ago in Nashville. I was living in Smyrna, Tennessee at the time. And as like a 40th birthday present to myself, I did the draft in Nashville. And that was an absolute blast. The whole weekend I was in downtown. Actually, Green Legion was going to run a trip there. I booked it. They called off the trip. And, I didn't know. So at kind of the last minute, Green Legion still helped me out with getting a room and making sure I was taken care of and everything. So again, you know, I will plug Green Legion every single chance I get. You do not have to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan to enjoy a Green Legion trip. It does help, but all in all, it's always a great experience. That draft in Nashville was fantastic. The best part was interacting with fans from every team.
I agree with you on that one. I went to Philly when they were in Philly. I went every day that weekend, and being able to, like, I was taking the train over from Jersey. We have a transportation called the High Speed Line, and it literally, you take it right over the bridge from where I live, and it drops you right, like, in the middle of everything, basically.
So where did they do it in Philly? Where exactly was it? Was it, like, at the art museum?
At the art museum.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, but they blocked off the whole parkway so you could, like, walk around. It was just, it was so cool and so neat to see. And I was almost sad they didn't do it there again the next year. Like, it was like, I wanted more of it. I wanted to see it again.
It was cool.
It was everyone, every fan from every team was nice. I mean, like, there were some, like, you know, if you were walking by a Cowboys fan, you would say, like, boo, Cowboys suck. But it wasn't even that intense is what I'm saying. Like, you'd be like, Cowboys suck. And they'd be like, yeah, Philly sucks. Like, why are you in my town? So we did it. It was a good time. That draft was excellent. And you're right. So everyone should go to one, no matter where.
Go to one.
Because it is.
Go to one.
It's a really cool time.
I had the benefit of living only 20 minutes from Nashville at the time. So if anybody has been to Nashville, have you been to Nashville, Sam?
No, not yet.
No, you need to go to Nashville once. But anybody who has, so Broadway is kind of, it's the district right there from Fifth Ave all the way to the river. And that is where the draft was. So everything funneled all the way down to First Ave, which is where the stage was. There's not a whole lot of other places that have a setup like that. You could talk Vegas Strip, but that's way too long. You know, the district in Nashville is really that area right there from Fifth to the river. And then from like DeMond Bruin out to, I forget what the other street is on the other side, but like they shut it all down. You couldn't drive down there or anything. They had zip line cameras. I know Fito was trying to look for me in the crowd. He was texting me. So it's day two. It's 9:30 in the morning and I'm walking around Broadway. Right, trying to shake off a little bit of the hangover. And I'm checking out the shops, looking at the different because like all the TV stations are set up in front of different bars and stuff. It was really cool. And there's a Bills fan in the middle of the road, right? And this is going to be my final thought for the evening. There's a Bills fan in the middle of the road. You guys have all seen the videos of these Bills Mafia maniacs. Let me tell you firsthand, it's legit, right? They are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. This dude's in the middle of the road trying to take pictures and stuff, and I hear from about, I don't know, 10 feet away, from out of nowhere! And this dude runs up and RKOs this other Bills fan right in the middle of the fucking street. Like, I don't even know if they knew each other. It was just from out of nowhere, and bam, he just planted him in the middle of the road. I'm like, dude, I thought we were fucking insane. Y'all really do shit like that. Tables and city. And then he gets up and walks off. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be a long weekend with you people. But it was a blast. I mean, I hung out with Chiefs and Raiders fans and Patriots fans. I mean, they were everywhere. We just talked about
I don't know if I could do that,
what.
But.
Nah, he was all right. He didn't even have a Brady jersey. I had a Bledsoe jersey on.
All right.
Yeah. He wasn't representing your husband. So.
Yeah,
it was just. Sam, you got anything you want to add at the end here?
No, you did a great job. I'm glad to be part of it, bud.
No, thank you for sticking with me here and making sure I don't screw this up too much. Everybody, I promise as we move along, I will pay more attention to the room and interact more with your comments. Just bear with me as we go over week to week. This will be every week. Every Wednesday night, 6 p.m., Unhappy Gilmore. There will be at least one rant every evening. I don't have to plan it. Rest assured, week to week, something will piss me off. Sam knows that firsthand. She's interacted with me enough where something's going to make me. You've seen me on Right on Cue. Something's going to piss me off. So, Lewis, yeah, one down, 299 to go. He told me it would be 2082 before I got to show number 3000. And I said I would be 103 years old. So then he was coming up with sponsors for me, like Depends or whatever. So I sent him a link to that old SNL skit. Was oops, I crapped my pants with the old people. Yeah. So, all right, everybody, we're going to get out of here. And I will see you next week. Thank you for hanging with me. And yeah, that's about it. Thanks a lot.